So let's get started on our notes here. And last week, we studied the biblical principles regarding the structure and government of the church. In that, we saw the authority of the church begins with Christ himself. So in your notes here, in the first bullet, it says, as the head of the church, Christ rules the church through leaders who submit to the word of God. So leaders need to submit to the word of God. Since Jesus is the living head of the church is a living body of born-again church members. That means God's people are to be treated like they belong to God and not us. That really hit home when we really think about the positions that we hold, whether it's the pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a song minister or your street preaching or whatever you're doing as service to the church. What you're doing is not in service to yourself or to in service to a particular person, but it's in service to God and his ministry and how we can glorify him. So I can say grace has been a journey for me in that way, is that I've been able to grow in that and learn that really, I mean, you know that and you learn that. You've known that pretty much most of your Christian life, but as you grow older, you see more and more that the church is not about yourself. It's about who God is and his glory and how you want to honor and glorify him. And so trying to take yourself out of it and just serve. And so we're going to work through the next, you'll see as we go through here that the role of the elder and the role of the authority in the church is to serve one another. So in your next bullet there, in your notes, it says, since the church belongs to Christ, and since Christ, the church leaders are his servants, then the purpose of the church government is service, not dominion. So let's talk more in detail about service aspects of the church government. In the Bible, the task of the church elder is compared to that of a shepherd tending sheep. That should not surprise us. Number one in your notes, God describes his own leadership of his people as a shepherd leading his sheep. The idea of God being a shepherd is revealed in the Old Testament. The first description of God as a shepherd is seen in the book of Genesis. Letter A, in your notes, it says, Jacob said that God was faithful, patient shepherd who provided for him. Jacob was blessing each of his sons, and when he came to Joseph, he said this, in Genesis 48:15, and he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. B, in your notes, King David said that God gave personal care and divine guidance to him as his shepherd. So he gave care and guidance as a shepherd. In Psalms 23:1-3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a beautiful illustration this is of God's loving care for his people. This means that God's shepherding care provides his sheep everything they need. God knows his sheep. God feeds his sheep. God leads his sheep. God protects his sheep. See in your notes, King David then describes the faithfulness of God as our great shepherd. In Psalms 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, that shows God's faithfulness as our great shepherd. This is a very important note that we see here. D, in your notes, God's relationship to us as our shepherd is not just with individual people, but with his entire covenant people. And we see that where he moved on from just the nation of Israel and the Jews to the world. And we saw that expand. That is why David describes, in your notes, that is why David describes God's people as his flock. David also reminds us how God redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt. In Psalms 77:20, it says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Then he says in Psalms 95:6-7a, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. In Ezekiel, the people of God are described as God's sheep. In Ezekiel 34:31, "And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. I am your God, declares the Lord God." Letter E in your note, or E in your notes, we can see clearly in these passages how deeply the Lord cares for his people. We can see how he cares for his people. And F in your notes, we can see how the Lord's sovereignty watches over and protects his people. So we can see in E that he cares, and then F, he watches over us and protects us. Now let's talk about God expects the same kind of care from those he appoints to lead his people. 2 in your notes. God's appointed leaders are described as those who are called to shepherd the people of God. Leaders are called to shepherd. The Old Testament speaks of all of God's leaders as shepherds. In 2 Samuel 7:7, "In all places where I have moved with all people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" Two of the most prominent leaders in the Old Testament are described as shepherds. We see this in Moses and in David. In your notes under A, Moses was identified by Isaiah as a shepherd of Israel. We see this in Isaiah 63:11. "Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock?" Moses was a shepherd of the people of Israel who brought them from the Red Sea. He was the shepherd that God used to lead his people out of the bondage of Egypt. And B in your notes, David is described as a shepherd leader. That is David. When the tribes of Israel came together to speak to David, they reminded him that he was their shepherd. In 2 Samuel 5:2, "In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to you, you shall be shepherd of my people, Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel." The Psalms also speak of David as a shepherd of God's people. In Psalms 78:70-72, "He chose David his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought them to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them. He guided them with his skillful hand." So God's rulers are commanded to shepherd his people. Did you know that both Moses and David's occupation was to be a shepherd of real sheep? God prepared Moses and David to lead his people by having them work with real sheep. But the Old Testament prophets spoke of a great shepherd who was to come. In letter C in your notes, it says the Old Testament prophets spoke of a great shepherd who was to come and lead God's people as their Savior. So in C, a great shepherd was to come. The prediction of the Old Testament prophets were a word of hope to God's people. Next bullet point in your notes there. The prophets provide a great hope of a perfect shepherd who would lead them like David. Ezekiel looks forward to this great and perfect shepherd. In Ezekiel 34:23, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, one servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Micah the prophet speaks of a coming Messiah in this way. In Micah 5:2, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." And in Micah 5:4, "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock, and the strength in the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord is God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." So God's promise of coming ruler was a promise of coming shepherd. 3 in your notes. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd who was prophesied to come. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises of a coming shepherd. A in your notes. Jesus is the perfect shepherd, far greater than all who came before him. Next in your notes, Jesus declared himself to be the shepherd foretold by Old Testament prophets. So he was far greater and he declared of himself. In John 10:11, he states, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He said it again a few verses later in John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Next bullet in your notes. The Apostle Peter recognized Jesus as our chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Next in your notes. The writer of Hebrews also recognized Jesus as our great shepherd. So he's our chief shepherd and now our great shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. Be in your notes. Jesus' sacrificial love and care for us as his sheep was demonstrated by laying down his life for us. We see in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So then who are the sheep? See in your notes. Jesus' true sheep are those who believe on him and follow him. So they believe and they follow. Jesus speaks of the behavior of a natural shepherd to define who his sheep are. In John 10, 3b and 4, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by the name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Next bullet point. When a person hears the word of God proclaimed in the gospel and believes, they become God's true sheep. I'm going to read that again. When a person hears the word of God proclaimed in the gospel and believe it, they become God's true sheep. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Those who have spiritual understanding respond in saving faith and follow the Lord. Next in your notes, when a person follows Jesus in obedience, they demonstrate that they have truly become God's sheep. So they demonstrate when they follow. We should all be familiar with Jesus' requirement for us as his sheep. Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Next in your notes, true sheep will only follow Jesus. True sheep will only follow Jesus and will not follow false shepherds. John 10:5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. As Christians, we are followers of the one great shepherd, Jesus Christ. But Jesus has appointed other godly shepherds under him to lead his people. Four in your notes. Jesus saw the clear need for additional shepherds to lead the people of God. He saw the clear need of additional shepherds to lead the people of God. See, Jesus doesn't just lead the church alone. His strategy for leading his people is to call and appoint church leaders. A in your notes. Jesus looked upon the crowds with compassion, knowing their need for godly shepherds who would lead them. Matthew 9:36-38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest. B in your notes. Jesus' strategy was to appoint other shepherds to lead his sheep. So first he saw the need, and then he appointed people to lead. He sent the apostles to gather the lost sheep of Israel. In Matthew 10:5-6, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This simply means that they proclaimed the gospel to unbelievers in Israel, and God saved many of them and made them his sheep. So how does Jesus lead his sheep now that he is physically gone from the earth? And this is next in his strategy under letter C in your notes. Jesus' strategy is to appoint godly men to oversee and care for his sheep. So he points men to first lead by seeing their need that we saw up in A. B is to lead. And C is he points men to oversee us and care for us. Listen to God's word of promise through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10:4, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. See, Jesus doesn't just lead the church all alone. His strategy for leading his people is to call and appoint church leaders. After his resurrection, Jesus spoke to Peter in the language of a shepherd. In John 21:16, he said, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. In John 21:17, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. And then John 21:18, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was then grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Church leaders are called to be shepherds who care for God's sheep. That includes knowing the sheep, feeding the sheep, leading his sheep, and protecting his sheep. D in your notes. Shepherding God's people is of great importance to our Lord. He repeated the command to shepherd the sheep three times. It wasn't just enough once, but he wanted to stress the importance to Peter. So it was important. He could have given other commands such as love one another or make disciples, but he didn't. His focus is on shepherding his people. So that is our model of church leadership. E in your notes. Church leaders are to look to Jesus and follow his example of shepherding. They are to follow his example of shepherding. Listen to Peter's words of instructions to his fellow elders. In 1 Peter 5:1 and 2, so I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. So Peter indicates himself as an elder. Together with the other elders, he is instructing. Then Peter tells his fellow elders how to shepherd the flock. 1 Peter 5:3-4, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So in this passage, Peter gives clear guidance concerning the role of the elders. There are five bullet points here. The first one is the command to the elders to shepherd the flock of God means that this is their primary responsibility. So in your notes, the first bullet point is shepherding is the primary responsibility of the elder. The second bullet point is elders are to oversee the lives of their sheep with eagerness. The third one, elders should never be domineering. The fourth bullet, elders are to be examples to the flock. And we go back and we can cite where it says in the ones we just reviewed that we are to use Christ as our example to be examples to the flock. And the last bullet there, elders will be held accountable to the chief shepherd for how they lead his sheep. One of the ways we must be careful as leaders is an F, letter F in your notes. Church leaders must be aware of using the sheep to our own benefit and should instead give themselves to the Lord to be used by him for the sheep's benefit. Instead of being used or using the sheep for our benefit, we should be benefiting the sheep in how God would have us to do it. In Ezekiel 34:2-3, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, this says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. God is very displeased with those who use the sheep for their own gain and hurt them. Letter G in your notes. Church leaders must be very attentive to care for the needs of the spirit and spiritual safety of the flock, since it has been purchased by Christ at a great price. Remembering the great price that Christ paid for us should help us as we serve others and as we lead others. That great price is the same price He paid for them, and we're no different. So we should remember to attentively care for their needs and their spiritual safety. In Acts 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. This is a very important verse because it teaches us that, in your notes, the value of the sheep under their care is very high. It was purchased with the blood of Christ. So the value of the sheep is high because what was paid was Christ's blood. If you understand that the people in your church do not belong to you, and if you understand that those people belong to Jesus Christ alone, and if you realize that He paid a bloody price for them, that will greatly affect how you lead them. So how should this affect church leaders? Number 5 in your notes. The role of the shepherding shows us how to govern the church. The role of shepherding shows us how to govern the church. First of all, A in your notes, it is evident in the Bible that churches were led by multiple elders. Churches were led by multiple elders. This reduces the tendency for leaders to abuse their power. We see this pattern in the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas planted churches. Acts 14:23, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Paul instructs Titus to do the same in Titus 1:5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. It was never intended that a single individual should rule a church congregation. Rather, churches should be led by teams of elders. B in your notes. It is evident in the Bible that there should be equal authority and accountability among the elders. First bullet point there. There is no evidence in the Bible of a hierarchy of elders. No evidence of a hierarchy of elders. There's no evidence of some elders being higher in authority than others. And next in your notes, elders are to govern the church of God by being united in mind and spirit. Elders are to be united in mind and spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Leaders should be united in their leadership so that they can lead together. If there are divisions among the elders, there will be divisions in the church. Jesus only has one will, and His will is never divided. If the elders are divided, then the will of the Lord can't be carried out. So, leaders should pray and talk and study the Word until they have the same mind. They should be humble and gracious and not domineering or selfish. Next in your notes, elders should do what is always in the best interest of the church and the glory of God. Elders should always do what is in the best interest of the church and the glory of God. Paul's desire should be our constant prayer and goal. In Ephesians 3:21, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If that's our goal, then our church will thrive and be strong. In Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's what church leaders exist to do, to build up the body of Christ. Next in your notes, having unity and purpose does not mean that the elders will have exactly the same responsibilities. Paul points out that some elders carry the responsibility of teaching and preaching, and other elders may have other responsibilities. In 1 Timothy 5:17 through 18, let the elders who rule be well considered, worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Not all elders have the gift of preaching and teaching, but all the elders are responsible to shepherd Christ's flock in various ways. So, not all elders will regularly preach on Sundays, but all elders must be able to explain the truth and defend it. Even though that may not be from behind the pulpit, all elders must care for the flock and oversee the flock. They must care for the needs of the church. They must lead the church according to scriptures. They must make sure the people are safe from sin and heresy and well fed on the words of life. In conclusion, let's summarize the heart of this lesson with these points. First bullet in your notes. Shepherds, the church of God is a serious responsibility and privilege given to leaders by the Lord. The next bullet. Church leaders must lead God's people under the leadership of Jesus Christ himself by following his holy example. The third bullet. Church leaders are called to shepherd the souls of God's people, even at great cost to themselves, since the church was purchased at a great price by Christ for himself. And the last bullet there, the church leaders must remember that one day they will give an account to the Lord for their leadership. We'll go back through those just real quick. It's a serious responsibility. It's to be done under the leadership of Christ. It is shepherding the souls of God's people. And leaders will give an account to the Lord for their leadership. In James 3:1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So let us shepherd the church of God with great joy and eagerness, and may we never forget the greatness of the privilege given to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for your guidance and your leadership in our lives. Thank you for the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the elders and the shepherds you have put into our lives. Help us also to see the role we play as shepherds as to those around us, whether it's children or new Christians or unbelievers who need to see the gospel. I pray that you would help us to live a life that shows the price that you paid for us and that we want to glorify you with that and glorify you and show that price and help us to honor you in love and compassion and care for those around us. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.